Hello, everyone out there in the world of sales. This is Kurt Mortensen. We are into resistant free selling. The goal here is to influence without rejection or resistance, to know what they're thinking. Or bottom line, what we're going to focus on today is how your prospect thinks. What's going through that gray matter? What's going on up there? Why do they say no? Why are they rejecting you? Why are they resisting you? And the more you can understand them, it dramatically reduces your resistance or that rejection, because you're connecting. You know what's going on up there. You see, great salespeople instinctively sense and know what other people are thinking and feeling. Because imagine, if you could get inside your prospect's mind, how do they really feel about you? Wouldn't it help immensely if you knew the questions and concerns brewing in their minds? What if you knew their key motivators, their true feelings? Are they telling the truth? Are they lying to you? Do you have this sixth sense? Studies show that less than 8% of salespeople have really mastered the skill to really understand human nature. This gives you power. This gives you control. Most persuasion, this is a reminder, operates below the level of conscious thought. Now, I want to point out, you need to be patient with yourself as you go through this to understand. It takes a little time to understand people. It probably takes a lifetime, but the more you can understand, add a tool here, understand this, it makes a big difference. So let's get into a few of these that will help you out right now to reduce that rejection, to reduce the resistance, and increase your sales. The key here to understanding this mindset is realizing, how do people make decisions? Why do they have objections? Why do they have questions? How do they think? Remember the number, up to 95% of all persuasion and influence involves a subconscious trigger or feeling. Sometimes they don't know why they're saying no. Sometimes they don't even know why they're saying yes. Your goal is to understand that. So let's get into the first one. Now, what are some of these subconscious triggers? A smell that could bring up a bad memory or good memory. Music that increases your adrenaline. Something that disgusts you and you don't know why. A color that makes you hungry. A word that makes you tense. Listening to someone you've just met for no reason at all. Gestures that make you uneasy. Tone of someone's voice that can turn you on or turn you off. Those are all subconscious triggers. So let's get into the very first one. The logical mind versus the emotional heart. We have to realize the emotions will always rule the day. What was it Ben Franklin said? If you would persuade, you must appeal to interest rather than intellect. Of course, we've heard that we buy in emotions and we need to have that logic when the emotions leave. We know that. We heard that before. But too many people focus on the logic. They focus on the data dump. They hope somebody assigns a benefit to all their logic, assigns some type of emotional need to all that logic. Most people make dramatic mistakes here, even the big companies. Did you know that up to 80% of all new products fail? They've spent the millions on the research. People said they would buy it. They go back later, why didn't you buy it? They don't know. Those are subconscious triggers. Simple things. I don't know if you remember when Intel reduced that faulty chip. People freaked out. It's going to ruin their computer. Things are going to happen. And Intel downplayed it and downplayed it, because logically, there was a 0.0001% chance that the faulty chip would ever have a problem in the computer. I mean, that's logically, that's small, but emotionally, we don't want that faulty chip on our computer. We just paid for that. Even though the chances are so slim, we don't want it. Another favorite example of mine's Coca-Cola, when they released New Coke. Logically, that made a lot of sense. Why? Because in blind taste tests, Coca-Cola drinkers preferred the taste of New Coke to Old Coke, almost 3-1. These were blind taste tests. They launch it. Emotionally, people freaked out. They were so passionate about it, they didn't want it, even though they were the ones that chose New Coke over Old Coke. Cadillac comes out with a gas-efficient car. Cadillac Cimarron. What a no-brainer. People thought it was a great idea until nobody bought it, because emotionally you buy Cadillac because it's big, it's luxurious. Not because it's just a little teeny stick shift car with Cadillac on the back. That's why we really need to understand emotions. This is how people make decisions. I can give you mistake after mistake, but you really have to understand it. It is the emotions that move people. Even with a diehard logical person, you're going to have some emotions and understand what that means. So get past the logic. You'll need some of it, but really tap into that emotion. Next one, inside the world of objections and concerns. Do we really understand why this happened? Do you realize that the majority, over 60% of your objections that you get are lies. Too expensive, can't afford it, come back later, talk to my spouse, talk to my partner, talk to my boss. Lie, lie, lie. When you become a great salesperson, you will view objections differently than most people do. You will welcome objections and enjoy them. First of all, you have to remember that you need to find out if it's a true objection. And when it is a true objection, you need to know how to solve it. You have to solve them in a way where you don't come across as cocky or condescending. And you say to yourself, well, I'm not that way. But you come across that way. Why? Because deep down, you don't like objections. Deep down, you are getting the objection that scares you the most. Deep down, you wish they wouldn't do it. So you get a little tense. Your demeanor changes a little bit. Something happens there and people sense something. Keep the door open. Handle them in such a way where it makes a big difference. Remember the solution? It's the first time they've ever voiced that objection, that concern. Let them finish, pause, then solve it after you've found out that it's a true objection. Because why do people have objections? Well, they can be boiled down to seven areas. Fear of failure. They're thinking, can I really do this? Could be lack of support. Could be a partner, spouse, parents. Maybe they don't want to make the commitment. Maybe the time or their children. Maybe they're just not motivated. They just don't care enough. The discomfort's not that big. Maybe there's something about the function. Does it really work? Will it solve my problem? Again, there's that psychological trigger. It just doesn't feel right. Or it could be the financial concern. Maybe they just don't have the money or see where it's going to make them or save them money. Really learn to master asking questions, finding objections, getting those concerns out, keeping the door open. Thank you for asking that. It makes a big difference. Then they'll open up. Then you'll become a consultant rather than a salesperson, and the persuasion resistance drops dramatically. The next one is pricing and the perception of value. You probably noticed that the very last potential objection was price. Cost is often the first objection raised, but it's usually not the true reason for rejecting a product or service. Whether you're selling an actual physical product or trying to persuade your stubborn teenager, there's always a price. It might be financial, might be emotional, might be time. You have to really understand this. Remember, there's a cost-value relationship. It's just not about offering the lowest price. Many salespeople have a tendency to fight on price. I'm telling you what, you fight on price, you have no skills. It's your job to build the value. When you get to the price and they say it's too expensive, you've blown it. You haven't built the value. Are they comparing your product, your service, your idea to a Rolls Royce or a used car? It's up to you. Your job is to build that value. Only 6% of the things we buy are bought on price. You don't go to fast food every day or the cheapest restaurant every day. You didn't buy the cheapest car. You don't go to a thrift store every day. When the value's there, it becomes a no-brainer. I do this in seminars all the time. I hold up a $20 bill, and I sell it for a dollar. People come running up, and I sell it. So I actually do. I actually sell it for a dollar. And they take it, and they're all happy. They sit down. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Don't you want to think about it? You want to go to my website? You want to talk to your spouse? You want to read a brochure? You can talk to somebody else about this? And they look at me like I'm stupid. And I say, exactly. When the value's there, resistance goes down. Your job is to build that value. That is your goal. That's what you need to do. Because when there's $1,000 of value and you only have to pay $200, it becomes a no-brainer. Please, please don't fight on price. Anybody can do that. Any rookie can do that. Anybody with no skills can do that. You are top of the line. You're probably not even charging too much, especially if it's your service. Add another zero to it. Add another $100 to it. The value's there. Do not discount yourself. Next one is to understand the power of questions. Well, let's find out. We find out that great salespeople ask 2.7, all right, I'll say it, almost three times more questions than the average. An average salesperson will ask 6 questions. A great salesperson will ask 16. How many times do I have to say this? When you ask the right questions and you become the consultant, they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them without cramming it down their throat. And you have the ability to connect and to understand them. Think about that doctor-patient relationship. The doctor comes in and asks a lot of questions. That's what you want. Imagine the doctor coming in, looking in the room like, oh, yeah, penicillin, shuts the door, doesn't talk to you. Doctor's probably right. Years of experience, years of school, doctor's probably right. But you're offended, you're mad because you needed the consult. You needed the questions. You needed to go back and forth. You're going to interview them. You're taking notes. It also engages your audience. Every question you ask will get answered. Great salespeople know that when someone's evaluating their product or service, they're looking for every reason why they should not purchase. It's just a natural defense mechanism. But once they mentally and emotionally commit to the idea that it's the right thing to do, now they start looking for reasons why they should do it. So how does this apply to you as a salesperson? Once you've helped them see the imbalance between their current state and their desired state, and once they feel motivated to act, you must be swift to get that commitment. They'll search for positive reinforcement to feel secure that they're making the right decision. Use open-ended questions. It's very simple. Get as much information as possible. Well, when did you start? Where did you find? What did you think about? Have you ever thought about? How do you feel about? That makes a huge difference in your success. Next one might surprise you. Mood affects sales. Well, obviously your mood. You think you can put on a fake smile and pick up the phone. You think you put up a fake smile after fighting with someone and going to meet with somebody. See right through it. Well, let me back up. Maybe they don't see right through it. They just sense something's wrong. They don't think to themselves, oh, they just had a fight. They just, something's not quite right. So top salespeople have the ability to get hit in the head, totally rejected, smashed up, and in a matter of minutes, they're back on track making phone calls or talking to people. Now, if it takes you 2 weeks to do that, you'll never be successful. So rule number one here is you need to be aware of your moods and get in the right mood because people can sense it. Number two, they have to be in a good mood. What we're finding is through the research is that when people are in a positive mood, they recall positive things, why it's worked out, why they should buy for you, why they like you. When they're in a negative mood, they're going to think about why they don't like you, why they shouldn't buy, why it won't work out, why bother. What a great salesperson can do is get the person in a positive mood. If you don't have the ability to do that, you should probably come back or try another time because it's not going to matter anyway. Mood matters. Think about that. That's very, very important. So what can put you in a positive mood? We're all different here. Maybe you should go for a small walk, go get a treat, talk to somebody positive, look at your vision board, review your goals, call a loved one, whatever works. Get back on track. Don't take an hour when you can do it in a couple minutes. It matters. How do you get somebody else in a positive mood? Well, maybe you want to get a change of atmosphere. Go to a different spot. Go for a walk. Go out to eat. Get some food. Get some air. Get some exercise. Those tend to work. Especially if it's sunny outside, you'd be surprised that the sun can make a big difference in somebody's mood. There was a study done in a hotel room that didn't have a window. There was no way for the person inside that room to know what the weather was like. So this guest in this room ordered room service, and the server would describe the weather as either cold and rainy, cold and sunny, warm and rainy, or warm and sunny. Do you think it made a difference? They couldn't see it. They didn't know. They hadn't been outside. What happened? Well, here's where it gets really interesting. It did not seem to make much of a difference whether it was warm or cold, but when the weather was reported as sunny, tips increased by over 26%. There's something powerful about the sun. So if you've lived in Seattle or Alaska, you know this to be true, but it's a simple thing. What works for you? How can you change someone's mood? It could be a compliment, praise, boost their self-esteem, variety of ways to do this, but you need to monitor this. You also need to think about getting the no and your call to action and always asking for their business. That's a big complaint. Most salespeople just don't ask for their business. They'll come back later. They'll try it later. Ask them. Why do it in 10 calls when you can do it in 2 or do it in 1? I've trained people before. Ask for their business. If they're ready to go, don't over-persuade. Don't say too much. Don't come back later. I know you've probably given a brochure. They're going to go to your website. They're going to think about it. You never hear from them again. Now, in rejection-free selling, we don't want to get the no if we want to postpone it. But sometimes you do want to get a no if it's going to save you some time, if you know it's not appropriate for them. You need to work on your call to action. You need to ask for their business. Now, I'm not talking about closing skills here, because remember, closing skills is like trying to get a kiss after a bad date. But the ability to close the sale is a skill that can be learned when it's used in the right way at the right time. Now, a lot of complaints are using it too soon in the wrong way. Your goal is to help them sell themselves. For the most part, salespeople use closing skills incorrectly. This lack of proper implementation creates uneasiness and tension between the persuader and their audience and their prospect. The idea of closing has long been regarded as applying pressure to get the person to buy. This definition of closing is complete nonsense, and there's no place for it in today's business environment. In fact, if you show me a person who uses aggressive, high-pressure tactics to close a sale, I'll show you a person whose ability to persuade is so poor that he has no choice but to resort to such measures as a substitute for professional persuasion and sales skills. When you use this the right way and sparingly, when you ask and ask again at the right time, it makes a huge difference. This call to action is when you're going to ask for their business, ask for the money. It's not a time to beat around the bush or hesitate. Just like when the guys ask a beautiful girl out for a date, hey, how about the weather? What about this? What's going on? And the girl leaves. Get to the point. Great salespeople know how to read and interpret their audience's buying signals. It's like gauges in the car. Learn how to read your prospect, their consumer mindset, and you will know when it's time to ask for their business. So ask at the right time and ask. It's amazing. Almost half the time when I'm on our salespeople, they never ask. There's a way out, more information. They're going to talk to them. They just don't ask. When you start asking, I mean really asking, you'll see a big difference in your sales. Because when you miss these signals, you shoot past the window of opportunity, your audience eyes glaze over, you've lost the ability to sell them. Instead of a win-win, you've set up a lose-lose situation, and you've talked them right out of the sale. Because you know in this situation, they're either selling you why they shouldn't do it or you're selling them why they should. Most research shows that a sale is made on average after 5 attempts. This tendency is why great salespeople have thick skins. They must shake off the rejection and forge ahead with great persistence if they are to stay on track. Studies show that most persuaders often give up after 1 or 2 attempts. Great salespeople know when to keep contacting and when to part as friends, to maybe do business in the future. But you'd be surprised how many sales come through because a persuader approaches a prospect one more time. In light of this tendency, it's more surprising that over 80% of salespeople still don't approach their prospects again after the initial rejection. You can do this. You can understand people. You can reduce that resistance. What do I want you to do? What is your homework? Well, let's pick one of those. The one that's probably the most important that most people blow, that they don't even know they're blowing, is the emotion part. I want you to focus on building emotion, getting people excited, having some passion, and not the logic. I know you can data dump and vomit the list of features and benefits, but I want you to build the emotions, how you're going to solve their problem. Remember, as salespeople, you're problem solvers. You're going to solve their problem. I want you to focus on that this week. Reduce your logic, increase the emotion. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it when they get excited and know when to ask for their business. Work on this. Understand people. Understand human nature. You'll understand yourself better. You'll understand the world better. It'll make a big difference in your sales and your income and the things you'll accomplish in this life. Go out there, do it. Wish you massive success and good luck.